And now. Capital 263.
Welcome to Politics and Beyond on Capital 263. My name is Christopher Farah Aramba.
And I'm Tawanda Henry Beatty. And yeah, welcome to a long-awaited Politics and Beyond podcast. Thank you for your patience and your understanding.
Yes. We'd like to apologize to all our listeners. Unfortunately, we've been caught up with the academics, and life must go on, even though there are exciting things happening back home. But we could not get to the election without giving you an episode. It's coming up.
Is it really? We're recording on Thursday, the 26th of July, in the year of our Lord 2018.
Wow, 4 days before the election.
Yeah.
Before the long-awaited election. People have been waiting for this election since 2013.
Yeah, you know, it's weird just to even bring it on our own journey. I don't think we planned to get here, or we had even planned that one would end up in Australia, the other would end up in England, and when we started the podcast, it was just as an outlet to vent some of the political discussions that were happening generally in Zimbabwe. So obviously, with people moving around and academics and things, things have changed.
Yeah, things have changed, and it's been one hell of an interesting journey. Though the journey is not complete, I think a lot of people, are waiting for elections, and then after elections, we will see changes in the way a lot of things have been done. Isusu, we shall remain.
Yeah, Isusu, takaita nui dispensione sedu kudara.
La kudara.
We can't be voted out.
Until we shall be here. Once the academics are done and the dissertations are in, it shall be back to regular programming on a weekly basis. So, but today we're here, and we're definitely going to be talking about the election. A quick analysis on the situation, where we stand today, what ZEC has done to bungle. I call it bungling. Others will call it other things. But what ZEC has done to bungle this election, what our candidates, the leading candidates, have done, and
to bungle the election.
To bungle the election as well. And what we think could happen come next week, Monday, for the candidates, actually, at the presidential, at the parliamentary, and at the local level.
Yeah, I think it would be a pedestrian. I mean, our analysis will just be based on what we've been seeing, and but our predictions would definitely be pedestrian. I'm not in the mood. Rest in peace to Mazibaba Wimbo, so I haven't been able to get him on WhatsApp to provide you with any accurate readings for this for this election.
Yeah, my local my local sangoma is currently unavailable.
Oh, you come here, report like I'm not going to vote.
Ndakatadza kupinda pa Hogwarts paper.
The Minister of Magic is not replying your calls.
Platform 9 3/4 didn't want to open for me.
Let's we can only just begin by emphasizing perhaps how we want the election to go in terms of the actual voting, because I suppose the election is over, the election nearing period is over. So now we're talking about the voting, and then, yeah, we get straight into ZEC.
Yeah, well, first things first, please go out to vote, guys. You registered, so go out and vote. And you might be in the queue for an hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, but just make sure that you stand in the queue. And you cast your vote. If you are registered, please cast your vote. It's very important that you cast your vote and that your vote is not cast for you.
Yeah, no, definitely, guys.
If you read where I am going.
Yeah, no. Look, it's really, it's difficult for two people in the diaspora to emphasize how important this is. But yeah, please go if you can. Go and vote. Rawada panemoyo wako, whoever you want. Just make sure your voice is counted.
That is true. Yeah. So in terms of the election day, I don't know what time they're starting, but obviously they'll probably start
at 7 a.m. 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. and anyone in the line at 7 p.m. will be allowed to vote.
Okay, so there you have it, and it's a simple process. If I remember correctly, I don't have it in front of me, but you take your ID, you check your name on the voter's roll, they tick your name off, you get marked with the ink on your pinky finger, and I am informed that there shall be no, you should not have any fake nails or nail polish on your left pinky finger.
Yeah.
Everywhere else is fine. All your nails can be done, but you shouldn't have any on your left pinky finger, because that's where they're going to put the ink to mark you to say that you voted. From there, you go and receive your ballot papers. You should receive 3 ballot papers. I think it's blue, yellow, and green.
Yeah, presidential, blue council, for presidential, and
yellow for council, and green for, I mean, yellow for parliamentary and green for council, or the other way around. But 3 ballot papers of 3 different colors. You then take those ballot papers into the ballot booth, into the booth. You mark, an X marks the spot on the candidate that you want to vote for. You fold your ballot papers, you take them to the box, to the ballot boxes, and you drop them into the ballot boxes.
That's it.
And that's it, and you're done. And you may go home and enjoy your public holiday.
Hmm.
Yes, and enjoy your public holiday, because Monday will be a public holiday. So please, please, please make sure that you do so. Obviously, I'd say it's best to go early, but because they're only supposed to be 1,000 people per polling station, you can, if things go according to plan, then you should be able to get through the process relatively easy.
So,
and you shouldn't have any stresses.
So my understanding of that scenario is that, let's say there's a polling station at Oriel Boys High, there may be more than 1,000 people there, but there'll be different, let's say, let's call them voting booths. So you might end up lining up in one long line, but you're going to be put in 3 different, if that makes sense?
Yeah.
Voting booths.
It
was a contentious issue because of how it was explained by Zek in the first place, when they were saying we want to set up sub-polling stations, etc. But yeah, I think that's the most logical way, and that's how it's going to happen. And yeah, let's look, if there's any violence, just report it, and let's just hope, you know, for peaceful election day.
Also, the people you should expect to find there, obviously you should expect to find the police, because their objective is law and order. So if you have any issues, you can report to the police. You should also expect to find observers, and they can be different observers from political parties. Political parties will have their individuals who are going to be observing. International observers from the AU, the EU, the US, the UK, so many different. It could be one of them, it could be all of them. And then you're going to find the polling agent, and Czech officials, the Czech officials and the polling agents. Those are the people you should expect to find there. If I'm not mistaken, there's no campaigning at the vote that at the poll
at the
polling stations
within a locus of, I think it's 3 or 4 kilometers around, a radius of 4 kilometers around the polling
station. Around the polling station, yeah.
So
there should
essentially
be no campaigning.
Means in a place like Harare East, which I know intimately, you should not be able to see any campaigning because it's very difficult for you to be outside of that radius. Because if there's one at Oreo, there's one at the Grange, there's one at Chizipiti, there's no space in between them where they don't sort of overlap.
Yeah. So if you see anything like that, please do report it. Because those are some of the soft issues that sort of influence things. Soft intimidation, if we can call it that.
Yeah, and so it's, you know, people in trucks with their regalia on, driving up and down, making noise and beeping and those type of things, you know, if you can consider a small lonely Ambuya who's walking to the polling station by herself, how, you know, it might seem a small issue, but it's quite important.
Yeah. But that's for me, that's that on the election day. So just make sure that you're out there, get up early so that you can spend the day braaiing with your friends.
Yeah.
Or go, you know, sleep in and then get up, have a hearty breakfast and then head to the polling station, whichever way you wish to do it, but make sure that you actually end up at your polling station on the day with your ID ready to vote.
Yep. And yeah, then nothing more to add on that. We can go straight into the Zimbabwe Electoral Commission. And
yes.
Some of the commissions and omissions.
commissions and omissions. You people love that that sins of commission and omission. Zimbabweans actually love saying that.
You know, I used to apologize to a former lover by saying I apologize for any things I've done, things I've omitted to do. Now, in the past and in the future, I'm going to cover all apology.
To my sins of commission and omission. Wow, people love it. They love saying that word. Anyway, yeah, so Zeke, last week, was it last week or the week before? Last week, I wrote a very, an article that got me into trouble.
Yeah, you had Igamombe disagreeing with you.
With Igamombe.
That's the typical family before feud to the pages of Herald. That's how now WhatsApp come back when
Igamombe had no WhatsApp, so he had to respond via the Herald. Anyway, yeah, so I wrote an article on, and we'll start here because Zek has a number of issues, but we'll start on the one that for me is the easiest for them to solve, right? And that is their communication strategy, and it's been terrible. They've bungled a number of issues, and I see that my good brother over at the Newsday,
Blessed,
Ngaba Machazi has written a similar article on their communication issues, and you know, there's so many things. We'll start with the postal votes in Roskamp in Blaa, where when asked about it, they gave conflicting comments. One of the guys, the CEO, I'm forgetting his name, says, "Oh no, there's nothing like that happening." Then there's no early voting happening, which he was right on that. That there was no, they'd not dispatched anyone, because I think he was asked if they dispatched people. They hadn't. It was a postal vote situation. They were literally just meant to send these letters. It's like receiving a letter at your house. You tick your X, you post it back to Zek. Simple.
Mm.
But one, people didn't know that the postal votes had been sent out. That's where they first bungled. They should have said, in the news, on ZBC News on the Sunday night or the day before, we've sent out postal votes. Postal voting should arrive in X places, in the places they've been sent to. You don't even have to say where the places are. They should arrive to people tomorrow, and we expect them back on this date. Everyone is informed that postal voting has started. Secondly, explain the process, that we're not sending our people there, because that was then an issue. Is why aren't you guys monitoring it when they're not supposed to? But the main, so those were some of the issues they could have solved very early and not been a thing. What then happens is you then have police who are complaining that they're being forced to vote in front of their superiors. And had Zek sent the information out and explained and reinforced this idea that it should be done in secret, then you then, when something like that happens, you then are prepared, if you get what I mean. Yeah. People aren't caught unaware and making a, I mean, it is a huge issue, but the way it then makes the whole thing tainted, because Roskamp wasn't the only place where postal voting was happening. No. And if there were no complaints from other places, I'm assuming here that things went smoothly. I'd like to believe that if other people were forced, then when Roskamp happened, they would have come out.
Yeah.
And unless, I mean, this is just an assumption here that I'm making, because people found out about Roskamp, and if I'd just like to assume that other places people would have think. So I think they bungled that entire process, and now it just makes the entire postal voting system look shady.
It certainly does, because not only that, they were unable to say how many postal votes that they've sent out at the time. And if you have to apply for postal vote, so it's not everyone, it's not every police officer. It's, okay, you, Chris, have been assigned to Dangamfura, but you are from Murewa. So you get a postal vote, but not the whole station gets the postal vote. So
it's... Yeah, it has your name on it.
Yeah, so now, over and above their communication issue, there's a distinct actual organizational question, Ekuti. Okay, who got postal votes? Because some teachers are saying they haven't gotten them. Diplomats, Ambassador Trudy Stevenson said she hasn't gotten her postal vote. And the same police were saying, oh, we didn't actually have to apply. It was applied for on behalf of our seniors. Right? So those are now questions that are actually over and above their communication issues. Because it's now, okay, so how many postal votes were deployed? Who were they deployed to? And why? Because their law and their own processes say you have to apply.
Yeah.
So when people at Roskamp are saying, oh, in Nansquinda, there's no way I'm going. I'm not being deployed this election, but I'm voting postally. You see?
Complete bungling. Yeah, complete bungling of a process. And it adds, you know, it... There are certain things that illustrate that your organization is not is bad. The way you organize yourselves is bad. Yeah. And once you see yourselves failing to communicate basic things, it shows that there's a problem there. You know what I mean? Like if you know when you're going somewhere and you ask when you're going somewhere with your parents and you ask, oh, what time to go? And they just can't answer that simple question of what time you're going.
You know who you're in trouble.
No, it shows other things. Maybe Maria Fiola, Isati Akwana, or, you know, someone, you're waiting for some. There's other things happening behind the scenes that delay the fact that somebody can't answer what time you're going. So with Zek, it's a similar situation. Their failing to communicate basic things shows that behind the scenes there's worse things happening behind the scenes, and for me, it was a real issue that showed the cracks. And what it does is, their job has been to provide a free and fair election. Chete. And Emmerson Mnangagwa promised this to the people of Zimbabwe and to the world at large. And ZEC should have done everything in their power, if not to provide that free and fair election, to provide the perception that the election is going to be free and fair. You know what I mean?
It's no, like, that's very honest, and I completely agree.
It's that simple. Is you're going to do it, right? Or you're at least going to make us believe that you've done it. And there are definitely certain steps that they could have taken to make us believe that this is what they were doing. Even if their machinations be happening behind closed doors, at least let people not have a reasonable platform to argue. And this is what they've given them. The issue with ballot boxes, I mean with ballot paper and migrating X's. I mean, I don't believe that X's migrate. I think it's real nonsense. But there is a large number of people out there who genuinely believe that if you mark your X, it's going to move. And what they communicate badly. They don't tell people when ballot printing started. They show the ballot printing from, 10 meters away. And what do you call it? They don't give the ballot paper out. Just give people a sample. Give them one. You know what? Even if your ballot paper has X's that migrate, right? Print one that doesn't and give them that one.
Yeah. And
you know what I mean?
That's... Yeah, your ballot paper here is the same thing as the postal votes. There are certain questions that need to be answered away from the X's migrating and those kinds of things. And while you get a confused message from the opposition because you have Blood Shelton when they comrades who clearly sometimes tweets things that are ridiculous, and then that's the narrative people would like to push. But if you listen to Douglas Munzura or you listen to Muzuri or Tindabiti or Chamisa himself, they're saying we want to know how many ballots were printed, where they're being stored in the provinces, or who is taking them. Whether you're saying, okay, we're going to take them to the provincial police headquarters and that's where they're sleeping this weekend, because obviously distribution of ballot papers has already started. And we just wanted samples. And those three things we can talk about. People seem to think when they hear or oppositions are complaining about ballot is because they want you to take pencils or pens. But how many ballots are printed? Okay, you've got 5.3 million registered voters. You're for spoils and everything, you shouldn't be printing more than 6 million ballots, let's say. If there's more than 6 million...
I think the threshold is 10%, actually.
Yeah. So, if there's any more than that printed, okay, how many ballots has each province gotten? Where are all those ballots, are they accounted for? Are they serialized? Do they have serial numbers? How do we ensure that there's no ballot right now in Dangamvura sleeping in Chief Sharumbira's house? I know he's not from Dangamvura. And that he... I don't know, and whether it means you outright void stuffing, which is probably unlikely to happen, at least especially in the bigger provinces. But it's a genuine question, and you can't call anyone unreasonable for wanting to know these things.
No, again, I completely agree, and it goes to the issue of perception and the issue of the issue of perception and credibility. The issue of the ballot has been a contentious one for a long time in multiple elections. If we go back as far back as 2000, 2002, 2005, obviously most definitely in 2008 and in 2013, where this migrating X rumor came from. So ZEC should have anticipated this, and they should have done more. And you do more in certain aspects so that people don't ask questions about other things. Now you've just created an issue around the ballot, and if anyone has any issue with the ballot, and this is one person or two people out in, you know, some random province, it creates, it's like the Roskamp issue. It then creates this big storm and creates doubt over the entire process. Whereas it could have been one person whose, you know, pen just happens to split or something on the day. But obviously, in, you know, with modern technology, and this is one thing that I'm going to hate, I think I'll probably switch off the entire Monday, is we're going to be flooded with
stories,
so many
constant news.
Aside from constant news, people are going to take many pictures of their ballot, many, you know, as regardless of how you're not supposed to, people are going to, there's going to be so much, and there's going to be so many rumors spring from that, pictures taken out of context, you know, it's, yeah, and I think it's so easy to do. So I don't know how Zek is going to counter that, or how they're going to deal with such. Obviously, again, this is message to all people. If you have a serious issue, don't just take a picture and post it on social media. Please report it through the official channels, because it's not going to help anything, or it's not going to solve anything if any issue is not reported officially. If you complain about it on social media, yes, we'll tweet about it. Yes, we'll talk about it in our WhatsApp groups. Yes, we'll
have a podcast about it.
Yes, we will. We'll do all those things. But at the end of the day, nothing will come of it, because Zek will say, ah, you guys didn't report it to us. So make sure that if you have any issues, please do report them before you want to be a hero and get all your retweets. That's the issue on Zek. And then the final issue is, you know, for me, okay, this one for me wasn't a big one, but a lot of people seem to be big on this scarf thing. And I think it's simply because Priscilla Chikumbawacho then lied about when she got the scarf. But listen, in the early days of that scarf, and I think she got it on the 5th of February or something, for me, it was early days. It was Zim's going in a new direction. Everyone was very excited and excitable. And I think that simply was the issue. If she wore the scarf today, obviously what it symbolizes is completely different from where I think it was when she got it.
Yeah.
In terms of how the distance between February and today and what that scarf has come to represent, I think are two different things.
Yeah.
And I, you know,
for me, argue, it's the Zimrock scarf. It has nothing to do with Emerson.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's what it was intended for. But then it has become the symbol of ED. The ED symbol, part of it. So I just think, again, it's an issue that could have been handled very differently in terms of their communication. But, you know, Zek doesn't seem to want to engage like that. And in terms, you're speaking about their processes. One of the things is Kusanzi is a lack of organization. So when you do what?
You're breaking, Chris. Said you're breaking.
Can you get up on the issue of transportation of the ballot box, of the ballot papers, is that either they know, obviously they've said that which company is it? Fidelity would be transporting them. They've hired Fidelity to do so. But why they perhaps are reluctant is because they aren't finalized on the details. And it could be various reasons. It could be money. They've complained that they don't have enough money. Or it could be incompetence at the level of the person organizing. And this obviously then brings doubt into the election process itself. But I really think some of these issues are just inefficiencies within the organization that they can't come out and say, oh, well, ninga akataza ubuka mota, or, you know, something like that. Because then they just make themselves look bad. So they try to keep it hidden. and then it creates suspicion.
Yeah.
Rather than the, you know, I don't think a lot. I think some of these things are not to the extent of them plotting and planning the rigging of an election. I think some of these things are simply just them being inefficient, and they can't come out and say, "Well, guys, I'm sorry, but we're inefficient." Yeah.
And yeah, and the thing is, it's almost like you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't, because if you come out and say,
exactly,
"Oh, we're struggling to run this
election,"
and by your own admission, you're struggling to run the election. But if you're struggling to run the election and you're trying to hide it, we can also see. So it's a problem. That being said, Zach, issues aside, I don't know if you managed to catch Chamisa's press conference yesterday. I think the overlying or the underlying message from that press conference was, look, it doesn't matter what Zach does, we just need to go out and vote. He said a lot of things, but ultimately he said we're not going to boycott, none of that's going to happen. Ultimately, people just need to go out and vote, and vote in their numbers, because whatever inefficiencies that the system has, the one thing that they can't really take away is overwhelming victories or losses or whatever. Like, I'm taking a lot of out of the Chamisa context is that for those listening and for everyone, if people go and vote, don't be discouraged by Zach not being on the ball. If you go and you show up and there's ballot papers and there's a box to put those ballot papers, they'll count them. Whatever's happened before, it's unfortunate, but right now the most important thing is people just go out and vote.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Yeah.
Anyway. Let's people should do that, and you know, and then you see, I don't think, yeah, people shouldn't be worried about Zach and its inefficiencies. You go and do what you're supposed to do, and Zach exposes itself. This is the thing with Zach. His if the machinations, they're not even good at covering them up. So whatever could possibly happen, it will be exposed. This I have no doubt. And it just, you know, puts further doubt into the credibility of the election. And obviously we want a free and fair election. But they've opened room for themselves to be doubted, and they've done it by themselves.
You know what, go ahead.
And you know, I was just saying they've done it to themselves. Obviously they've done it to us, but they've done it by themselves. And I genuinely believe that if something were to happen, it would come to light and they would face the consequences of their actions. Obviously we would too, but I think it's something that can be dealt with either in the courts of law, in the eyes of the observers, in the eyes of, you know, the participants. There is a way to deal with some of the things that Zach has been doing.
You see, I disagree. If Zach makes a bungle and there's a winner declared, we can be in courts for the next 5 years talking about how Zach messed up 2018 elections. But in terms of functionally,
you see, I don't.
That changes.
No, I think the stakes have never been this high. I genuinely believe that if there is a case and an identifiable case of how Zach has influenced the outcome of the election, then I think it can be dealt with. And I think precedent was set with the Kenya situation. Obviously, it's a different context. But I think there's so many eyes and there's so much concern over this election that with clear evidence of tampering or of something, it is one where there will be pressure to deal with it.
What my point was is that if there's clear evidence of, let's not be cute about it, if there's clear evidence of tampering, it's likely to be in favor of the incumbent, and then therefore Zach wasn't acting by itself. So, you know, it we co if there was a situation like that, it's no longer about Zik being
Yeah, but
incompetent. It's now
if there's
about
this if
Zanu influencing the results. And
but if there
we
if there's a
haven't.
situation if
Yeah, go
there's a
ahead.
situation like that, Zimbabwe is closed for business. That's
Yeah,
it.
Zimbabwe is certainly closed for business, but that doesn't mean Emmerson won't rule for the next 5 years, even with a stolen mandate.
Man, I don't I,
There's no
fair
court
enough. I mean
decision in Zim, and you know,
I mean there's
10 years
precedent for that
ago there
happening in
was.
Zim,
Pardon?
but I said there's precedent for that happening in Zim, but I perhaps am too optimistic. Let me say this.
No, I like your optimism because it's sometimes necessary. And but
Yeah,
in my humble
I
opinion
might be
is
naive.
that, and it's the same. It's really funny. We'll move on to the campaigns just now, but it's a really interesting shift that's happening. Is have you noticed how the opposition has stopped going to the courts and has been doing stuff on the streets, and they're now being told, well, if you have a problem, go to the courts. But when they used to go to the courts about everything, they said, "Are you crybabies? Why are you always going to the court? The ball is played in the streets."
Yeah, I mean, it's but it's been a flip of things in multiple ways, in the
ways.
sense that you have ZANU PF courting the whites,
Oh
a
yeah,
realm which
that's a
a
good way
realm which
to, good
was
way to segue into campaigns.
yeah as a realm which was at one time reserved for the MDC. So this election has been one which has, it has veered from the traditional in many ways,
Yeah, it's been
in
unique.
many ways, and it's a good thing. It's definitely a good thing that the MDC for the first time has been allowed to campaign freely all over the country. It's also a good thing that political parties. ZANU-PF itself, I saw I saw them getting flak for that white rally, but I think it's a good thing that they are engaging all Zimbabweans. They went to the Indians, they went to the Coloureds, they went to, and these are groups that generally just don't part, not that they, yeah, they don't participate, or they've been left out. I don't know if it's been left out or they've been reluctant to engage in political conversations.
From my understanding, the people, they haven't been left out, they've just not been part of active politics. The whites and the Indians are probably some of the most influential people
Financially.
financially in the country as it has been for eons. And that's, you know, they obviously haven't been part of active politics, and them coming to active politics is equally part optics on the part of the ruling party to show that they've changed and they've moved forward. But it's also equally courting dollars, it's courting business.
Oh yeah, no, that's yeah,
It's
that's
part of their
definitely true.
larger plan.
No. So there's that. I think it's been an interesting campaign period, campaign environment. There's a lot to glean from it, but going into the last 4 days, people's minds are made up. I don't think that there is much anything else in terms of campaigning that can be done to sway people. I think actually what swayed people has been the performance of Zek,
Yeah.
where some people who were ready to vote for new dispensation are now looking at it again and saying, ah, but you guys, these guys aren't doing themselves any favors type thing.
Do you know the funniest group of people? My barometer has been the good folks over at Sadza in the Morning. In February and January, oh, they were twerking for new dispensation. They were talking for new dispensation. Now all you hear is, ah,
You know what? I honestly believe people are ready to give Edey a chance. And you know, over the course of the last 9 months, he hasn't done himself any favors. But also, in the sense of... I think also, on the flip though, there could be people who just... Who reluctantly are just like, you know what? I wonder if there's people, actually. I wonder if people are just going to go into the booth and saying, these guys are going to win anyway, so might as well just...
There's
a belief that, you know, Mzanu is going to win. Yeah. Regardless of what we decide to do, Wachango winner. But yeah, it has been interesting. There's on the issue of, we're talking about campaigns. It really has been a strong campaign by the MDC, and I think one of their strongest in living memory. Yeah,
at least for me.
And they've gone about it, I think, the right way. They've gone about it in terms of, you know, well, I don't know what their on the ground work after the rallies is like, but in terms of the rallies, they've really stretched themselves and touched a number of places. And obviously that builds momentum, that builds excitement. You know, people want to be at the Chamisa rally. You make an event of it.
Yeah.
How organized they are on the ground in terms of making sure that everyone who comes to the rally is actually going to come out to vote for them, I don't know. In terms of their networks, in terms of building the cell groups and things, because these are things ZANU-PF has been doing. They are organized in that regard. So we'll see come election day. Obviously, it's difficult in this age to. I mean, back in the day, you could say, "Oh, Ningi has 100,000 or 20,000 people at his rally. He's done at every single one of his rallies. He's done, you know, 20 rallies. That's X number of people coming to vote for him."
But not anymore.
Not in this day where it's so easy to hype something up, make it look, you know, you take the angles, one pictures by the angles, you flood the networks and social media with one, you know, sort of angle. If we were to go off just the stuff Brian posts in the group, you'd think Kudizano was going to win. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you could take, for example, being in a group where Brian is the only one posting.
Yeah.
You know, and for those who are listening who don't know who Brian is, he's in the Politics and Beyond group, and he posts. He's a Murakashi. So he posts a lot of ZANU-PF material. Now, if you're in a group where all you get is this ZANU-PF material, you'd be quick to believe that they are, you know, going to be well ahead. Now, if you flip it, if you're in a group where it's just MDC material, especially with, you know, smiling faces and all of these crowds, you'd be quick to think that it's settled on that side.
Yeah.
I think, you know, both have campaigned differently, both have, you know, done similar things. It's been an interesting campaign, and I'd love to read studies done on this campaign period after. Just, you know, people looking back at it and analyzing some of the things that were done, and how they were done, and what worked and what didn't work. I think there's a lot to take out of it, and I hope the political parties themselves actually conduct studies.
Yeah.
Because it would be great for them to analyze their processes.
And see what the next election is going to hold.
What the next election could possibly hold for them.
I think, yeah, like with the campaigns, it's been a somewhat subdued campaign from the president. I think compared to what we're used to seeing from Mugabe, who had already started really campaigning with those interface rallies, you know, I think he's argument as, and I suppose it's, he's well advised, is he's not particularly a powerful speaker. So he doesn't do well in large groups, and that's not a knock, that's just who he is. Short speech, short to the point speech, and then he's out of there. That's where he thrives. So there's really no point parading him around the country. And then also he has the networks of the cell groups and ZANU-PF to rely on. So he doesn't have to be in every single province before the elections, because ZANU is in every single province. A ZANU member of parliament can draw a large crowd in their province. The provincial chair can do the same thing. So it's, it's been a subdued election. He's been more focused on opening businesses, opening minds, and campaigning for that international, saying, look, well, I'm in the middle of an election, but I'm still doing my job. Chamisa, on the other hand, I think he's now on 80 rallies across the country, in the last 3 months or 2.5 months. Whenever they officially started their final push. And he's been moving. They've been working hard, and a lot of the principals have been doing heavy lifting. Most notably, Wash Mncube, and so it's a tale of two very different campaigns, but they have two very different goals. One, you're trying to awaken a base. MDC was dormant. It was ill. As ill as the former leader at some point, in my opinion. It had been ravaged by splits. It was an unenergized base. On the other hand, ZANU could rely on organized systems and a very strong ground game. Now, to get into pedestrian opinions, there's a similar election where those two things happened, where you have a guy who goes around the country and holds mega rallies and rants from the top of his mouth, and someone who's, can rely on a very organized ground team that had been put in place by the former leader or former presidential candidate of their party. And I don't know, it's a position that one needs to then consider if you look at the
Paul.
Afrobarometer polls. I don't have the numbers off by head, but I know there's at least 20% of people who said they're voting are undeclared. Now, are we going to say those people that already declared are the bases? If those are the bases, then one would think that the people with the momentum, or the party with the momentum, would be more likely to sweep up the undecided voters. But I don't think that Zimbabwe is a scenario or a situation where you can use traditional polling or Western political analysis, because I shan't do the same.
I think it's very difficult to work with. I mean, polls the world over have been wrong in recent time, but also it's within the Zimbabwean context. Like you said, 20% of people simply refuse to give a proper answer. You also don't know who gave an answer, simply because, their family member was standing next to them and they are a staunch supporter of X party. There's so many different things there, but obviously you take the information, but you take it with a pinch of salt. And the polls do tell us that MDC is in the ascendancy over the past couple of months, and that's definitely owed to the work that they've been doing on the ground. How that then translates on election day is we are yet to see, and obviously it's
Sorry,
quite interesting.
I was trying to find the tweet. by one of the guys from Team Pachedu.
Who are who?
Are they actually released who they are?
I don't know.
The other day, some of them decided to stay anonymous, but they didn't release who the whole squad is. But basically, the argument was looking at the distribution of the votes and who said who was going to vote where, in terms of percentages. Even if it seems Chamisa is on the ascendancy, he still has to win 70% of the undecided 20% to win the election outright.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's still a long shot for him to win the election, even with such a powerful campaign. Maybe if this campaign went on for another 6 months, at this rate.
I mean, it's interesting. So I'm reading here an article by George Chingarande, and he, you know, he has a predictive model that he's used to, based on voter turnout, party cohesiveness, voter registration statistics, and the opinion polls. And I'll share this on my Twitter as well as the Facebook platforms. And it's quite an interesting read. I mean, he looks at the numbers of previous elections that we've had, and there's something here. In terms of the average. So he says, on average, since 2000, ZANU-PF's ZANU-PF has received 1.5 million, about 1.5 million votes. That's their average. Whereas the MDC's average has been, sorry, I can't find it now. MDC average has been about 1.2 million. Well, they haven't actually gone beyond 1.2 million. In any of their
previous
elections. In any of their elections, the highest was actually 2008, where they got 1,195,000 votes. And so he was saying that if if MDC is going to win, they need at least 300,000 votes, more votes than ZANU-PF's average performance. To meet ZANU-PF's average performance, right? So they're at 1.2, and they need to get to 1. ZANU-PF's average is 1.5, so they need about 300,000 votes.
More votes, yeah.
If ZANU-PF replicates its 2013 performance, then they're going to need 1.1 million votes. This is the MDC. So they need a growth of 18% on the lower end and 100% on the higher
end. High end.
Depending on the
big
situation,
massive ask.
It's, you know, it's, if it is the 18%, I think it's attainable. You know, again, if it's 100%, if ZANU-PF is reproducing that, which obviously I don't think it won't, you know, it's up there. But definitely, you're guaranteed that we're all starting at about 1.1 million votes for both parties.
Yeah.
Actually, if we just go simply to the average, we'll say ZANU 1.5 and think, and then it's within that, and I think those are your voters who have decided. Those are the people who went into those opinion polls and gave their numbers. Is that 20% where those people know, but it's just, it's not that they're undecided. They know who they're voting for, but we've had a situation where for a long time it's been your vote is your secret and blah, 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 and don't come out, and, you know, there's so much risk. When we start to look at it from the, when going into it, I think it's that middle that needed to be canvassed. And it needed to be canvassed on the ground more so than at the rallies, because I think it's your people who come to rallies, whereas the person voting for you, so for example, there's so many people in North Zamora who don't go to rallies, but they know that they're voting for the MDC, if you get what I mean.
Yeah.
And I think it's like that all over the country, and it's the same for people who vote ZANU-PF. I also think that there are people who would not admit openly and publicly that they're going to be voting for ZANU-PF.
Yeah.
In a similar way, the Trump, those who voted for Trump didn't come out and say so, simply because of the shame associated with it. Especially in the urban areas.
And the same would go for rural people who would be voting for MDC.
With the MDC, exactly, yeah. So really, you know, now we come down to who we think is going to win. And I honestly can't predict.
No,
I think we're getting an outright winner. I don't think it's going to a runoff.
Yeah.
But I honestly cannot say who it is going to be. And this is taking into consideration, obviously, if it's rigged, then it's going to be rigged to ZANU-PF. So I will remove the element of rigging and say I don't know. It's very unpredictable. But I definitely think we're getting an outright winner.
You see,
and I think it will be a close race. I don't think any of the independents or any of the other 21 members on that list are really going to make a big dent. Simply don't think they have the juice. I haven't seen much from Norm Anyeken. The last thing, I think he's simply just fallen off. He's now way back in sixth, maybe, you know.
Yeah.
Nkosana will do better than him, I think.
From a late surge.
Yeah, from a late surge, I think Kosana will do better than Noah Manyika. Maim Juru has been quiet.
Yeah, but Maim Juru, I don't know if it's she's been quiet or she's just been working in her province.
But you can't work your province, guy. Your province isn't going to elect you to presidency, guy.
I've got a distinct theory about people like Maimuchu, they're hoping for a runoff.
Yeah. And then come on
because ticket. If Maimuchu wins 18% of Mash West and there's a runoff election and she says she can deliver Mash West to whoever, because essentially she becomes a swing
vote, yeah.
Yeah. And then that guarantees her cabinet position in wherever, and I'm sure she will likely go back home to ZANU. So that's my pedestrian opinion. But yeah, I agree with you. I think this election is very difficult to call. Look, I obviously have hope that something will happen, but I just always remember having a chat with Timber Mliswa a couple of years ago when he was talking about running against ZANU in Norton, and he says if you want to beat ZANU you just need to know that you have to win by at least 30% just to win by 5%. So your votes literally have to be your popularity and your votes literally have to be 30% more and minimum than ZANU-PF, so you basically have to win 80% for it to seem like you're close, because that 30% is taking into account the power of the incumbency, any shenanigans and anything like that. And then I have to ask myself, has Chamisa done enough to be even 20% ahead of Emerson? And I don't think this election he has. I think it's possible in due time, and this is, you know, we're being cute about the previous rigging and everything like that. We know that ZANU is capable of doing that, and it's happened before. But I'm just talking just pure political theory and power of incumbency, regardless of shenanigans. You literally have to be 10-20% better to make it a proper race.
I mean, the thing is, you also have other issues of for within ZANU-PF itself, of all the factionalism and the things like that. We spoke about this before, but one of the things that for me is I cast doubt is this last upsurge of support that Chamisa has received from Baba Jukwa, Edmund Kudzai, and Jonathan Moyo. I don't think it's enough to sway, you know, many voters away from Chamisa, but those guys are shady. You know what I mean? Like it's I don't think he's necessarily made a deal with them, but that's really making a deal with the mob, if you get what I mean. Like it's just,
yeah.
I'd never want to be in such a situation or have their support. I don't think he needed their support. And obviously, you're never going to turn away at someone and say, "Oh, don't support me," because that is their prerogative to do so. But wow, I mean, I those guys are for me.
I spoke to TB, and the amount of disdain he speaks of those guys. In fact, look, I think they've done Chamisa more harm than good. Most notably with Edmund's disgusting attacks on
Priscilla Chigumba
and her private life.
And you know what? To be fair, I'm glad he called that out. Yeah, Chamisa, watch you at the thing. But you can just see the caliber, and also those are the tactics that they've been used to. Kuzani Gogo. No, my tactics are gonna blow now, you know. And it's so easy to taint an individual like Chamisa. And I mean, he Chamisa Wacho is no saint, and he's had his own. You see, this is the thing, is because he's also had his own mishaps regarding his comments around women.
Yeah.
You then are grouped into this, you know, mess, and he'd come away from that, and it's so easy for those things to then be brought back to the fore. I mean, those guys, those two are, you know.
Harun Muntasa just retweeted that Herald article we're reading, the stats, the one we just talked about.
Is it in the Herald now?
Yeah, I think I'm fairly certain.
Okay, I saw it on Blower 24.
So did I. But I just saw Teach Ndoga just posted it won't even be close, which is the same headline, so I'm sure it's going to
happen. Ah, okay. Yeah. Actually, speaking about the Herald and the media, they too haven't done, you know, the best to create the perception. And again, guys, I'll repeat this. If you're not going to do the free and fair thing, at least create the perception that you're going to be free and fair. And it's unfortunate that the content that they've been producing has really... It shows no effort. And for me, it shows a lack of imaginative thinking, because there's ways to push your agenda whilst making it seem that you are... balanced and keeping a you know.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, that, in the last 2 weeks, the Herald has been as bad as it was under Mugabe, if not worse, in terms of reporting on Chamisa or reporting on the opposition.
It is in the Herald, actually. I've just seen it.
Yeah, so he literally posted it. But anyway, you know, those are the small other things that people complain about. David Coulthard has a big complaint about the media and how Zeke has done nothing about that. And look, it's just, I suppose this, you just have to accept it, because I don't see the Herald changing anytime.
But you see, for it's, some of these things are just the way the institutional culture, that is difficult to change. I mean, if someone's been used to a certain way of doing things for a very long time, it's difficult for them to change overnight, even if you then tell them, okay, no, we're doing something different.
No, but that's nonsense, because they changed overnight from Mugabe to Emerson. literally overnight.
Listen, you change
literally overnight.
I hear you change. You change overnight from Mugabe to Emerson, but you're still playing by the same rules that you were playing for before. So it's not so much the individual. It's not about the individual. It's about how you do things, if you get what I mean. It could be Chamisa that changes, and then they just do the same thing, Mangwana type thing, for Chamisa. Or it could be, it could be Miti, it could be Olonga, it could be anybody. You but know, the way they run their systems would still be the same. You know what I mean?
Do you know the thing about the Herald that I've, about the Zim media space that I found quite interesting is that people sometimes say, ah, look, let ZANU have the Herald because at least, you know, MDC's got Newsday or whatever, right? Or Daily News. Yeah. I've been reading Newsday and Daily News. So they have two things. They have pressure to sell newspapers, right? And they really aren't as closely linked to MDC as the Herald is to the government.
Yeah.
So you have a situation where it's not a fair comparison. It's like, it's almost like there's no Herald equivalent. And anyone who tries to just say there's a Herald equivalent is... Because Newsday will run negative stories on Chamisa without thinking twice about it.
Yeah, that's true.
Whereas the Herald will never run a negative story on Emerson.
Simply it's... Well, unless he's about to be kicked out of the party.
And we'll never run a negative story about the president of the country, whoever that is at that time.
Yeah, no, that is true. I think it's a control issue, and simply, you know, the Herald is state-owned paper controlled, whereas those other two or three, whatever, are private papers who have picked a side, but aren't beholden to that side.
Yeah.
And that's simply where the difference is.
And it's fair enough. It is what it is. And let's not even begin on ZBC because.
Oh yeah, let's not go there. A quick one on before we wrap up because I think we've been on for quite a bit.
They can listen Parliament, to while they're in line.
While they're in line waiting to vote, parliamentarians.
Yes.
We have a parliamentary election. Well, you know, we've been focused so much on the presidential election, but there's also
so much content on parliamentarians.
We have a parliamentary election that is important. ZANU-PF needs to drop that 60 plus majority that it has. Obviously, I think this time round it will. I just wonder with what sort of, you know, who wins what. You know, who's getting what portion of the pie. Obviously, it's going to be a ZANU-MDC majority. Between the two of them, one of them will have the majority. And that's especially out in Kumami, Shao Koko. I don't think people are voting any other way but ZANU. I think we might get a small percentage. 10%, yeah. I'd be... If 10% of our parliamentarians are... If we have 10% who are from other parties, I'd be shocked. But obviously, we'll talk about a couple of the big ones.
Jesse Majome, Fadzima Era, and Themba Mlisu are the only non-MDC or ZANU-PF MPs in Parliament. That's it.
No, I think, you know what? I think there'll be a couple of shocks. I think there'll be people from the MPF in certain provinces.
Shadrick Mashaya is running under Alliance, but he's an MPF member.
So this is the thing. I think a lot of the people who are going to be from other parties are people who are known either from ZANU-PF or MTC.
Mm.
Like, it's not going to be a random, out-of-nowhere independent candidate coming to scoop it. Unless, obviously, this is somebody from that constituency who everybody knows. But it would likely... It's going to be a ZANU-PF MDC parliament, even though some people might now be NPF or MDC chakuti kupe, or you know. But we come to Jesse Majome, Temba, and Fatsi. Jesse Majome and Temba are the type of people I'm talking about, where they were once in the MDC and in ZANU-PF, and now they've gone off to be independents. By the way, I don't think Temba will pull it off. I'm just, you know, I think
Chris will win.
I think it's, no, I don't think Chris will win. I think Temba's fighting two battles. Temba's fighting, so there are ZANU-PF voters, there are MDC voters, and then there are Temba Mliswa voters, right? And Temba Mliswa, when he won, he managed to pull some people from ZANU-PF and pull some people from MDC, right? I don't know if he's done enough to hold all of these people. I think some of the MDC people are going to go back and simply vote down the ticket, Chamisa, MDC, MDC. ZANU-PF people, I think he can hold on to the ones that he's got. But obviously, Chris will have his constituents. And it's going to be close. That's what I know.
Yeah.
It's good. I don't think there's going to be a blowout there, unless obviously somebody stuffs the ballots, which wouldn't put it past. But you're right. That's also true. So Jesse Majome, I think she can pull it off.
Because that's really an MDC alliance versus MDCT versus Jesse Majome.
And I hope she pulls it off, to be quite honest. I like Jesse. Fadzai, that one's tough. It's too tough to call, man.
Yeah.
Too tough to call. But
I'm calling it for Fadzai. That's the only one I'm calling.
It's too tough, man.
I'm calling that one in Harare North. Rusty Markham is beating your dread guy there.
Rusty, I think I can call Rusty. Call Harare East, Darabiti.
Ah, Linda. We're voting Linda.
I voted for Linda.
man, I hope Darabiti wins, but I think it's tough. People forget 2013, he barely won that election, car. 2013, it was super close, because Harare East is not Harare East of old. New Caledonia, Acturias, Zimfors, Kumamisha, and you know, those people we don't know. Ndowa Nwagapio Mastens and things like that. I'm not comfortable calling it. I really hope he wins. I think he'll be a great addition to Parliament. But also, I would like him to go out and make money other places, please. The politics more Mosia. States more pure. Zenyu professorship. Zenyu more Mugara. Zenyu my boardroom.
And wow, you are funga big chete. Ko now at yeah. So I don't know.
At council, we'll pass the E, get
at
it?
Council. I don't know, man. I haven't seen... Well, listen, I haven't been on the ground. Let's just hope he's been campaigning on the ground now that he hasn't been making Facebook videos. But I don't know. I honestly don't know. It's a tricky decision. I hope so. Listen, I hope that, especially at council... Actually, I hope we don't get any of the people that were there before. I hope we get a completely new council. Completely new, because we need it. Harare City Council is dreadful, terrible, absolutely ridiculous. And it's not, whilst the inefficiencies at state level are there, there's just mad incompetency at that level. Mad incompetency. And it needs to be addressed. And I think this is actually one of the areas where the MDC should have reflected and seized. Well, I don't know who they've.
So Jacob Mapfume is running for council on Ward 7 against, I'm forgetting who's running on Ward 7. Jacob Mapfume is a lawyer and former member of parliament and he's now moved there. Ian Makoni is running for councillor. So there's actual high ranking MDC members running. And that's actually been one of the benefits of the alliance, is that parliamentary candidates, people who would have run for parliament otherwise, are actually running for council. So in Harare, I know at least four. I'm forgetting I'm forgetting. There's a couple of other names that I know. Ian Makone is with Ian Makone, probably you remember Teresa Makone, former Minister of Home
Yeah.
Affairs. That's her husband, businessman, very well respected. Chi. Jacob Mavhume, spokesperson of PDP, former Member of Parliament, lawyer. It's no longer my.
My garden boy.
Look, that's your own elitist
That's what
mentality.
somebody said, though, that there were gardeners
Then
that were being, huh?
quote them, Cap, don't.
No, that's I'm forget. No, there was somebody who said that a gardener became a what do you call it? I can't remember where it was, but
Yeah, no, I so yeah, in terms
who was
of
it? Wait, somebody said it. It was on Twitter or on Facebook.
someone running for parliament.
No, this was back in the day. Someone was complaining about how some of the people that were elected were former gardeners.
Yeah, no, I remember that. I'm just saying, say you're quoting someone, don't say it as if it's your own quote.
All
Because
right, okay.
is there anything wrong with the garden boy?
Not
The
at
amount
no,
of
absolutely.
gardeners in Harare North, they need their own union.
That is true. Absolutely not, but
But yeah, what I was trying to say
the
is,
proof of the pudding is in the eating.
all I was trying to say is that the
Or the proof of the eating is in the
the pudding is
yeah.
so yeah,
No, no,
no,
no.
they have
If
they
that's what they've done, if that's what they've done,
I think it
then
was
that's a good thing.
unintentional. It's just mechanisms of an alliance.
Yeah, fair enough.
Is that you
But
have to
that's
fit people
that's
somewhere
one
into it.
place where they've needed to address, because it is one place where they haven't looked good.
Yeah. In fact, I think Ian
And
Makone might be the next city of Harare mayor.
well, let's see what happens when the time comes. But yeah, Monday, guys, please go out and vote. Vote wisely. Know that you don't have to vote down a ticket. You can
Pick and
pick and
choose.
choose who you want to vote for. Vote for who you want to vote for. And
Jazz.
this make a decision that you will be happy to live with at the end of the day, where you can say that I voted, I'm happy with my vote, and that's all that counts. Don't be pressured into making a decision that you could or will regret. I think vote with your conscience. That's all.
And just remember
Make
the
sure.
last 38 years.
That's also true. Yes. Don't make an informed decision, but again, make one that you will be able to live
live.
with for the next 38 years.
Yeah.
Hey. It's if we all go out to vote, myself excluded due to not being available, and we all vote with our conscience, I genuinely believe we will all receive the results that we are hoping for. And I will be the first to say, me, I'm not opposed to as much as I have mad connections to ZANU-PF. I'm not opposed to a Chamisa victory. I'm not opposed to a Nkosazana Moyo victory. Let me just come out and say this: bad for my guy. If I was around, I'd be voting for Nkosazana Moyo. That's a decision that I'd be able to live with.
I think, yeah.
But I really think, as much as this election, for what this election bears for our future, I generally think that any of the other candidates outside of, not any of the other candidates, but a Chamisa or an or a Nkosazana Moyo, or yeah, those are the only two actually that I think I would be willing to say that I could back, in the simple sense that I genuinely believe such people would have a desire to see a better Zimbabwe.
Yeah.
And would be willing to put in the work. And again, this goes for ED too, but with my issues with ZANU-PF is not so much the ED himself, but you know, some of the people that he is, to quote S.B. Moyo, criminals that are surrounding the president.
Yeah, I think for me
is where I sort of draw a line. But really, again, the choice is up to you, and whoever you vote for, just make sure that you believe this person has the capabilities to take Zimbabwe forward.
Yeah, for me, my hope is whatever happens is that there's a loud voice of opposition in parliament. And what's happened to ZEC, the stuff that's been happening with ZEC, for me is a good start. I want to see it post-election happen to ZESA, happen to the Anti-Corruption Council. I want them to keep that same energy outside of just elections. You know, holding people accountable to what the law says, holding people accountable to what the basic rules of decency or of openness say, in the same manner that they've been holding ZEC. And I think for me, whoever wins, that's very important. And even if it's a Chamisa victory and ZANU-PF is in opposition, they must be doing exactly the same thing, keeping the people honest. And that's what the opposition has managed to sort of do, is constantly point out Zeg Bayegurasika and make it such a big deal that it has become news. And post-election, the parliament specifically must use their power to make laws and use their power to hold people accountable to do that. And the opposition, whoever that may be, his role is really to keep doing that, whether it's with NASA, whether it's with ZESA, whether it's with anti-corruption commissions, whether it's investigating mega deals or things that have happened in the past. They just need to keep that same energy. It can't only be for elections, because, you know, civil society has been on fire. You know, people have been marching over things, but it can't only be over elections. It can't only be over power. It now must be over how the country is run.
Indeed, indeed.
Right.
And on that bombshell, happy voting, guys. Please, enjoy your public holiday, and may the best man win, or woman.
Or woman. My woman.
My everything in each and every constituency.
Cheers. Bye, guys.
Cheers.